2020, all my badass bitches and magical mofos. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So I hope all of you are having an incredible New Year's. I'm so grateful to have survived my numerological year of the tower, which turned out to be less ominous than I had feared, which is usually the case with the tower. Like once you kind of accept it and know it, you can see what the lessons are and, you know, even when they're challenging, how they help you. So I am personally now entering my strength year and I'm pretty excited about that. From the collective standpoint, though, we're exiting out of the hanged man because numerologically, 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 9 equals 12, the number of the hanged man, as well as the empress, because once you break that down into single digits, 1 plus 2 of the hanged man equals 3, the empress. So a lot of readers will do both the double and the single digit card of the year. I offer both just so that, you know, we have as much knowledge and as much working with us in the cards as possible. So we're leaving the hanged man and the empress. And I'm sure the hanged man resonated with a lot of people out there because this year there was so much political, social, and economic twists and turns, and at times often felt very overwhelming and hard to see where things may be headed. And the hanged man, while uncomfortable, reminds us to surrender that, you know, that to that discomfort, to that unknown, and really trust that the universe has our backs, and also to trust the inspiration sparked in those moments of discomfort. And that most likely caused a lot of us to create and birth new ideas and projects and kind of spring to action, which is very in the vein of the Empress. So while we were moving in sequential order, i.e. 2018 was an 11 year, 2019 was then a 12 year, etc., the new decade really, you know, threw a monkey wrench in things. So that means 2020 adds up to the number 4 or the Emperor. And that means we only have one card for this year, but it is a powerful one. So for 2020, the Emperor in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck is this Pope-like figure sitting on a large throne that have these four ram's heads on it. And these ram's heads are very literal demonstrations of his connection to Aries and the planet Mars. So I love the Emperor. I know the Emperor can be a polarizing card. I love it. I'm Aries rising. In his right hand, he has an Ankh, which is the Egyptian symbol of life. And in his left hand, he has this round orb-like thing, which is said to represent the world or, you know, the empire over which he rules. And this card is associated with creating kind of a solid foundation and how we will move forward after we enter the energy of the Emperor. I really love this for the beginning of a new decade. Some people, like I said, it's polarizing. Some people don't love this card because it can be seen as harsh masculine energy and about rules and regulations. But my take on the Emperor is that it's all about setting up the foundation for your life, what works for you and how you want to lead and, you know, set up that groundwork in order to set yourself up for the most authentic alignment and personal success moving forward, which is why I made this card Beyonce in the Badass Bitches Tarot deck. They don't call her Queen Bee for nothing, peeps. She has set up a new structure, not just in pop music, but as a multifaceted career woman and mother, demonstrating that, you know, all the things that she's made possible with focus, drive, and self-love. To me, the Emperor is such a powerful card to start a new year and a new decade. It's an opportunity to really clear out and leave anything that's no longer working. It's kind of like when you knock a house to the ground and you clean up all of that debris. Like that could be tower. The Emperor does not follow the tower. It follows the Empress. But just go with me for this analogy. When you clear up all of that debris, that's kind of moving the things out that you want to leave in 2019, leave in the last decade, and then really set up a clean, solid new foundation with the Emperor moving forward. I've decided that I'm personally using this Aries charge Emperor energy to do everything I can to up-level my spiritual, mental, and physical well-being. So I've done a lot of work personally over the past few years. I used to be a heavy, heavy partier, a big drinker. I consumed gallons of coffee, sugar-free Red Bull, and Diet Coke on a daily basis. And I've really shifted from consuming actual garbage every day to being 90% plant-based. Well, I was still eating, I say 90% because I was still eating, you know, the occasional sushi, fish, and eggs. And after being sober of alcohol for a long period, I would also build in an occasional drink. Like, okay, it's my friend's birthday. It's my friend's album launch. I'll have a glass of champagne. But After my birthday on December 10th, and knowing the Emperor is on our side all through 2020, I decided, though I was a really good percentage of the way there, I'm now 100% plant-based and 0% alcohol-based moving forward. Because for me, I know what I consume both physically and mentally, i.e. what I read and watch mentally, directly impacts my ability as a channel and a reader and a healer. And I want to be the absolute best version of myself for me and for you guys, for everyone that I work with, for everyone that I read for everyone that I'm giving messages to in the collective. This Emperor Foundation will look different for everyone. If there's something you want to add into your foundation in 2020, maybe that's more meditation, more travel to inspiring places, more time with the people that feed you spiritually and emotionally. I'm a rebellious Sagittarius, and I personally don't work well with rules or duality, i.e. you have to, you should. That makes my skin crawl. So I like to look at the Emperor as an invitation to add more of the stuff you want versus cracking down and harshly removing things from your life or putting rules and structure into place. I like to see the Emperor and be like, oh, good, I get to up level. What does that mean I get to invite in? So I personally am creating space in my life to allow more time and connection with fun, kind, present, generous people in my life. And I've been adding more plants to my diet and more herbal potions to what I drink. Butterfly tea is the jam, by the way. I have some really amazing elixirs and mocktails for butterfly tea that I will share later. But anyway, the point is, with the onset of the year in that Saturn Capricorn energy for January and 2020 bringing us the Emperor, it's such an ideal time to set ourselves up for success. Even if you're not into the old patriarchal rule-following Pope dude version of this card, that's cool. Neither am I. There's still so much Aries inspiration and Beyonce vibes that we can work with, have fun with, and really set us up to be the best versions of ourselves moving forward. Yes to the Emperor Beyonce vibes for 2020. All right, so those of you who are long-term listeners of the podcast probably know that I pull cards for the annual overview on January 1st of every year, as well as working with each month's card according to the order of the Golden Dawn. And the order of the Golden Dawn's card for January is the Devil, as it's ruled by Capricorn. Okay, so those of you who know me and have listened to the podcast for a while, you know this is legit my least favorite card in the deck. When I initially started studying Mary Kay Gurr's tarot constellations and learned that this is my numerological shadow or teacher card, this made even more sense to me in my life. If you want to learn more about your own personal tarot constellations and how to calculate them, you can go back to episode 14 of this podcast. So the Devil basically is the shadow card, not just mine. It is shadow for everybody. For me, it's like a double serving of that. But Mary Kay Greer, the grand dame of tarot, who I was lucky enough to interview on this podcast, said to me when I expressed my struggle with the Devil, oh my goodness, that's amazing for you. You're learning to love your shadow. At this time, I was like, woohoo, lucky me. Thanks, Mary. But I'm beginning to get her point, and here's why. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card shows Baphomet, a deity linked to the Knights of Templar. And he's kind of represented as half man and half goat. And originally, this was said to be the balance of good and of evil, human and animal. But more recently, Baphomet and symbolism linked to Baphomet has been kind of associated with all things just purely evil. So there's some sort of like challenges to this card of like, okay, originally it was meant to be, it's half good, half evil, you know, kind of integrating your shadow. But later years, people sort of saw the Devil and were like, oh my gosh, that's evil, it's Satan. Not originally the case. In this card, the Baphomet scary devil figure has kind of this hypnotic stare and wings like a vampire or a bat to show that, you know, if you allow it, it can suck the life out of its victims. And it has that inverted pentagram on its head, a symbol of dark magic in and of itself. So at his feet, there's a naked man and a naked woman in the OG card who are chained to the base of that the Devil is perching on, kind of that stone base. And it looks like they're bound by force because you see this like, you know, metal link chain. But when you really look closely, the ties around them are very loose, as in they could probably remove them themselves if they really wanted to. Astrologically, this card is ruled by conservative Capricorn and the planet Saturn, aka the planet of limitations and structure, which is often how we feel when we're in devil energy. But on the flip side, when we realize we can free ourselves from that chain at any point, the choice is really ours to continue on in the limitations or to move and walk away and move forward. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this card is Whitney Houston, who was so incredibly beautiful, talented, powerful, but literally drowned in her own demons. And when I pull this card, I often reference a really powerful Diane Sawyer interview with Whitney Houston, where she looked at her and asked her literally, what is your biggest demon? Is it the booze, cocaine, pills? And Whitney answered, that would be me. Noting that, like the card, she chose to stay in those shackles. She was really her own shadow, her own devil. So yeah, the devil is largely about self-sabotage, addiction, and destructive emotions. But to me, the key piece in this artwork is, first of all, the original origin of Baphomet, that there's, you know, half good, half evil, and the balance and integration. And the second piece is those loose shackles the devil has around you, meaning it's really possible to go into your shadow and release self-limiting beliefs, literally untying yourself from the devil in order to release relationships, people, behaviors, or situations that just aren't healthy for you and you know better. And you know, when you see that and confront it, you create your own freedom. One of my best friends in Toronto struggles pretty badly with generalized anxiety disorder, and she's referenced the devil card in her relationship to anxiety. And she said to me, the more she fights it or tries to ignore it, the worse it becomes. And she likened this to this really freaking annoying mofo that we knew when we were in college, who would always somehow invite himself to parties, like everywhere we were. Like, how is he here again? He wasn't even invited. And he was just such an obnoxious drunk, and he would say the most inappropriate and offensive things to everyone possible. We'll call this guy Carrie Stevens. So she was like, I liken the anxiety devil card moments to Carrie Stevens' party cameos. If you try to fight with him or, you know, rationalize with him, it only made it worse. But if you just accepted that he was in the room and went about your business and knew you could leave the party at any time if you really wanted to, it made the whole situation much more bearable and less traumatic. As in, you can always unshackle yourself anytime you choose. All right, so our January pull from the 2020 overview, the January 1st pull, was 10 of Wands, but reversed. And I think that we had this come up weekly not too long ago, actually. But either way, 10 of Wands is a card of success, whether it's upright or reversed. It's about success and completion, and it's ruled by the 10th major arcana card, the Wheel of Fortune, which is all about transcendental completion, evolution. So this is a card of great success, no matter, you know, if it's upright or reversed. In the OG Smith Rider Waite, the 10 of Wands shows this poor mofo carrying these 10 heavy wands up a steep hill. And we can see he's like almost there, and we know he's going to succeed, but it looks like it's just been so much work, and you can feel his struggle from the visuals. Astrologically, 10 of Wands is ruled by the strict, disciplined, rule-following planet of Saturn. Again, we got so much freaking Saturn this month. We have, you know, the devil with Capricorn energy. We've got 10 of Wands with Saturn in, but here's the catch, in the fun-loving, optimistic constellation of Sagittarius. So I often describe this card of the successful workaholic card, and that Saturn kind of balances the Sagittarius energy and vice versa. So yeah, there's work, there's structure, but that Sagittarius vibe is like, okay, but I want to have fun. And in the reversal, that is what makes that Sagittarius shine more. So 10 of Wands upright is success that feels and looks hard. It does get an optimistic, successful result at the end, but there's so much self-sacrifice, you know, just burden, and you can often sacrifice self-love, presence, and balance to get to success in 10 of Wands upright. But in the reversal, which we have this month, the successful outcome is still coming to us, but it's just a more enjoyable process. If you think about 10 of Wands, if 10 of Wands upright is a brutal journey to get to a desirable location, 10 of Wands reversed is a super enjoyable trip that was as fun and memorable as the destination. It's like going on a road trip with your besties that you have so much fun along the way that becomes just as memorable and important as the destination of where you were headed. So I love the reversal of 10 of Wands. 10 of Wands reverse this month offers us a little reprieve. This card makes it a little bit easier to hold strong through some of those temptations and sabotage that the devil may bring in. And like if your ex, for example, texts you and, you know, 2019 you would have absolutely caved and responded, 10 of Wands reverse makes it a little less painful and a little less, you know, hard to decide to delete it and thank you next it. This card for the month of January is such an excellent complement to the card of the Emperor for the year of 2020. It's kind of telling us, you know how you want your foundation to look. No need to question or overanalyze. You've got this. It doesn't have to be that hard. So thank you, Ten of Wands. I am glad you're here to work with the Emperor and also help us kind of make that devil energy for the month a little bit easier. Now let's look at our card of the week really quick. The High Priestess. Okay, yes to this. If I had to put a card against the devil in like an old school wrestling match, I would absolutely choose the High Priestess, hands down. Basically, a round of temptation of self-sabotage, the devil, versus your most powerful weapon, your intuition, aka the High Priestess. So I'm very excited to see her this week. In the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, the High Priestess sits in front of this kind of pomegranate printed curtain. And this curtain, or veil probably is a better word, this veil represents the separate realms of conscious and subconscious. And really, only those that are tapped into the subconscious, i.e. intuition, can really enter the realm of the High Priestess or kind of her sacred temple. The pomegranates that are printed on the veil symbolize divine feminine, fertility, abundance, and on either side of the High Priestess in the OG card, there's these two pillars marking the entrance to this temple. So one is black and the other is white. And this kind of shows the existence of both dark and light, and masculine and feminine, earthly knowledge and spiritual intuition, and that both of those, you know, it's not a world of duality, black or white, feminine or masculine, like, oh, I'm logical, therefore I can't be spiritual. It's saying all of these things make us whole. So she demonstrates the acceptance of both sides of the spectrum, and rather than living in duality, that it's necessary to really kind of integrate both to enter her sacred temple. Astrologically, the High Priestess is ruled by the moon, and therefore it's the most intuitive card in the deck. This card encourages us to tap into our intuition and really pushes us to integrate that light and the shadow rather than running from, numbing, or bypassing. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, this card is the singer and songwriter Jewel, who I adore. I am friends with her, I've worked with her, and I just think she is the ultimate High Priestess personified. And in addition to her inspiring song lyrics, you may know songs of hers like Who Will Save Your Soul, Hands. She has a hit song called Intuition, actually. She's also a big advocate of meditation, and her charity Never Broken actually helps bring meditation to schools for young children and for underprivileged children. So while we may be in the month of the Capricorn ruled devil, we have this badass, powerful High Priestess this week that allows us to tap into our intuition and acknowledge and integrate the light and the shadow. So it's really the best way to kind of deal when we're faced with that devil energy. Like, again, devil energy could be, hey, you said you were going to eat healthier now that it's 2020, and your friends invite you out to a super decadent restaurant with the only quote-unquote healthy option being a sad side salad. And you may get the side salad, or maybe you get a decadent entree. But either way, the High Priestess helps you to assess the whole situation, tap into your intuition to choose what you really want to do for you, and be kind to yourself in the process. A game I like to play with the High Priestess is, okay, I know I'm a highly intuitive individual, and I often use the energy of this card to connect to my future self, i.e., I got invited to this event, and my first instinct is I'm not really that excited about going. I meditate on the High Priestess, the light and shadow of my future self, in that scenario to decide how I want to proceed. Like, what is my future self feeling if I attend? What is my future self feel if I don't attend? Spoiler alert, my first instinct is usually accurate, so I bet yours is too. This is also a really timely card, actually, as we have this big lunar eclipse and full moon in Cancer coming on Friday, which really pushes us to clear any restrictive self-limits, whether that's with money, love, self-worth. And it's an especially beneficial time to use that lunar energy of the High Priestess to go within, access your inner truth to proceed with strength and clarity after this powerful eclipse and full moon in Cancer. So this eclipse is kind of like one of the last it wraps up the eclipses that came through in June. And we have kind of this last big push from the moon saying, what do we want to clear? What do we want? Eclipses kind of clear things out that aren't serving. So this is kind of that big push. And it's allowing us as we experience that shift in that energy to access our inner high priestess, our intuition even more clearly, especially with the full moon being in Cancer. So a quick recap before we head out. I know this was a big episode because we have the year cards. We're going strong into 2020 with that ambitious Aries ruled Emperor, aka the Beyonce card, helping us to set up a powerful foundation for the year and the decade. This month, we also have my least fave card, that Capricorn ruled Devil card, which might test our new goals and opportunities, you know, might come up for self-sabotage that are kind of almost, it's like when you commit to something, the devil almost tests you. Like, oh, you sure you're going to put boundaries in place with your friends? Are you? Here's an opportunity to not. Oh, you sure you're going to put healthier fuel into your body? Here's the most decadent, delicious restaurant. Like, here's the menu right in front of you. But we have some badass cards to counteract these temptations and tests. Our other card for January from the 2020 overview is Ten of Wands reversed, helping us to face any adversity with a lot more ease and to finish projects and move towards goals just like with more flow and more stride. This week also brings us the High Priestess, the ultimate lunar goddess of intuition, which brings increased clarity to any decisions we may face. I hope that you guys have the most incredible High Priestess week. Instagram Lives are back. I took a break during the holidays. Back on Monday night, 7:30 Eastern time. I will be back in place moving forward. If you haven't tuned in the past, these Instagram Lives are a great chance to ask your own questions for a free live mini reading. You can also send questions through in advance on DM in my Instagram or at badassbitchestarot.com. I've also started to add some more video content on Instagram TV, and I'm looking into a possible YouTube channel in 2020. So if you have any topics or themes you'd like to see, DM at CardsEB and let me know, and I'll make sure to include that into my video content as well. Thank you all so much for listening. Have an incredible Capricorn season, and as always, stay magical AF.